talking about husbands and wives. Jake, one of these days you will be a husband. Well, maybe. You don't plan on it? Well, do everything different than we said, and you can depend upon it. Okay. Seriously, we've learned some very, very good things. I appreciate so much the Love and Respect series, and what a blessing that is. Oh, by the way, those CDs, we do own those, and we'll be probably going through that again one of these days, not during Sunday school, but another time if you'd like to get involved with that one. And that'd be very good. Because it was summer, most of you missed one or two somewhere along the line, and you probably missed the one you needed the worst. So you remember what day that was? We could say, yep, that's your real problem. That's the way that works. Anyways, we're going just a little bit farther. We dealt with some of that last week and just a little bit more this morning. And I'm heading in a direction. We're kind of making a transition from the relationship of husband and wife to that of parenting and children. And some of you in here say, oh, I did that. I'm a grandparent now. You haven't stopped. And the position that we have, whether we're grandparents or great-grandparents, it's just there. And we're constantly, even if we were never married, there's still people that God puts us in those kinds of things. When I was in Pontiac, I was newly married. I'd left home. I remember one lady particularly that became like a mother to me. And it was just kind of neat. And there was a scripture talking about if you leave mom and dad, you know, for the Lord's sake, how you would multiply that. And here was this sweet, dear old lady. And she was on my bus route. I picked her up on the bus. And so I was picking up my mother every week and taking her to church. It was just one of those neat things. And then a little later on, my wife met a daddy, and what a sweet old guy. He was in I don't know if you call it a rest home. It was really kind of a halfway thing between a hospital and a rest home, and he was not in really good shape. Always loved to see her, and it just those things are neat. Amen. So we have all those relationships. This morning I've entitled what I'd like to teach this morning, Family Undone. Family Undone. In the book of Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we find, of course, God revealing to us the beauties of creation and how He did it. It's just marvelous. What if man created the heavens and the earth? There couldn't be anything bigger than us. We wouldn't know how to do it. You know what I'm saying? And we couldn't bring it out of nothing anyways. But God created it all in 6 days. And some people say, boy, how in the world did He do it in 6 days? I don't know why He took so long. Well, I do know why. He did it for our sake. Okay? And God just spoke and it came to existence. I just marvel at that. But all the beauty of creation, all of its perfection. And then in chapter 2, He introduces us to the home as He creates a woman to go with man. And we looked at that a whole lot in the last several weeks. And to be the helpmeet, the one that's alongside, and to complement each other doesn't make woman lesser. Because she's out of, it makes her a greater part of, and what a beautiful position that is, a place of protection and so forth. It's just a tremendous verses there in that, the intimacy that He talks about and so forth. Then we come to chapter number 3, and in chapter number 3, we find that... becomes a mess. What if Genesis 3 wasn't in the Bible? What if that never happened? How would the Bible read? Would we need it? If we needed it and God gave it to us, what would it say? Because so much of it is about teaching us how to get along with God and how to get along with each other. That's what he said when he said, you know, what are the two great commands? What? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and what? Shall love our neighbor. And so really everything's right there. And you stop and really think about it, it's really pretty simple in the Word of God. The law of God is what? It's about how to get along with God and how to get along with man. The sins against God, the sins against man. And so there we have, we wouldn't have any of that. Wouldn't that be something? Wow. And yet we have Genesis chapter 3. And in Genesis chapter 3, we find, of course, that Lucifer, the devil, comes to Eve. He tempts her. And Eve, her influence in Adam and mankind sins. And changed the course of God's intent for man and for all of his creation. And what's been the result of it? Dysfunctional families. Family number one, what was wrong with it? You can talk. These folks won't bite. Oh, there's a couple here might. Okay, they were disobedient. They weren't real nice to each other. Two brothers, and what do? Anger and so forth is so bad that what? Cain slays Abel. We have murder in the first family. God calls Abraham, and God says to Abraham, I'm going to make you a great people. And we find that out of Abraham comes Isaac, and out of Isaac comes Jacob, and out of Jacob comes what we might call the first family of Israel. It's dysfunctional. There's four wives. That's a problem already. Who's going to do the dishes? You know, can you ladies imagine another woman in your house? Would there be some catfights? Yeah. Even though two of them were sisters, they were at each other's throats. They bring their handmaids into it. There ends up being four of them. 12 children with four different women. What else do we know about that family? We know there was attempted murder. There was hatred of the brothers to Joseph. They wanted to get rid of him. Wow. So we got polygamy, we got attempted murder. We have some incestual relations as one of the boys takes one of the handmaids. We have, deceit all around. Got a problem. This is the first family of Israel, God's chosen people. Wow. So we have some problems. And all this came about, and we have problems today. Oh my goodness, we have problems today. And all it came about because of a lie. And that lie came out of Satan unto Eve. And I want us to stop and really think about what took place on that day. And hope we can learn something from it, because there's something, one thing especially that I'd like for you to really get from this. And I believe to understand the husband-wife, the parent-child relationships, we need to understand how we got into the awful shape we're in. You say, well, we've been going to church for years. I know, we're going to review. And for some of you, there might not be anything new. That's not the point. But we might stop and consider. One of the jobs of preachers is to bring you into remembrance. And so we go back over things and over things. In my mind, I cannot think of more than 20 subjects I really deal with time after time after time. So every message, every teaching, everything at Sunday schools, everything we do, I could put into those 20 categories, and I might be stretching it for 20. What do we need? We need to be reminded over and over. So let's just notice a few things here. Chapter number three. It starts out and says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." And what do we know? We know, first of all, that this is a very, very special creation of God when it comes to Satan. We're not going into it, but I believe from Ezekiel, he was the covering cherub. Rather than four, I believe there was five. And he fell from that position. And as the covering cherub, he was very beautiful. From the description there, it looks like he was a living musical instrument. He's called Lucifer, which means light bearer. And perhaps some of the light of God shone through him in miraculous ways. I don't know. It boggles my mind. But here is one of creature of God's creation that is tremendously made. And it says he's very subtle. Of course, he has fallen from God. He has taken that kind of intelligence with him, but he's going to put it to bad uses in this term subtlety. And notice what it says here, "And he said unto the woman." He said unto the woman. And I find that tremendously interesting. She was alone, evidently. I remember one of the spots in the videos kind of captivated my thought. And the very next week, I believe it was, our neighbor was having his roof redone. And while that was taking place, there was two women that sat in front of our garage over here and watched them. They were the wives of two of the men that were working on the roof. And they sat all day just watching them. And I thought, wow. Because that said something to what he was trying to say. And that is, so oftentimes we get so involved in different aspects and we set ourselves up. And so often spouses don't do things together. You know, as parents, grandparents, what do we know? We know that children in groups is helpful. It's helpful. Trent, one of these days when your daughter wants to go on a date with a guy, you're going to want her to go with 23 other people. We've all heard that and said it. But I, you know what? Why? We're seeking to protect. Matter of fact, you'd like to be alone. And he'll sit over here and she'll sit over here. Amen. Go for it. Well, we know that there's safety that way. We're after that. But sometimes we fail to recognize that in marriages. And because one likes to do something and we don't like to do it, we don't want to go with them. And we find ourselves sometimes in dangerous situations as a result of that. It's just one of those neat spots. Consider that, would you please? But he has the woman, and he says, "Yea, hath God said." Hath God said. And he asks, or mentions this, "Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden." Now, I want you to notice what she says. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.'" Did she quote it right? Julia, you're shaking your head. Okay. It's probably a good idea, but God didn't say that. I bring that up for a reason, because when we start tampering with the Word of God, we're setting ourselves up to allow Satan to suggest contrary. Is the Word of God important? Better believe it is. And so when we begin to change it, we're sitting in a very, very dangerous place. I quit doing this because I saw the fallacy of it. I'd say, this word would be better rendered. In other words, if I was translating, I'd translate it this way. Well, God didn't do that. And we get ourselves in dangerous positions when we start changing things. God's word is, you don't need to defend it, you just need to believe it. But it's defendable too. And so we need to be very, very careful that we understand it and that we know it, because the devil's going to come at us. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, the Bible says this and it doesn't. Or I think the Bible says this. And they don't take the time to study it out and to find out. Hey, you're not going to know it all, and you don't know it all, right? But we ought to be gaining day after day. I made a little remark last week. I found myself wondering why I made that remark, but it was true. I live for stuff like this. And it's talking about the Word of God and the things I learn and the things that come to me and God teaches me. And we ought to. That'll be all of our plea. That we live for stuff like that. And it's great to see and great to learn. And we ought to be constantly. And if we're not, we find ourselves getting in a position where the devil can suggest the very wrong things. Now, I want us to notice here what he is going to suggest. And I'm gonna blow your bubble for a moment. Let me ask you this. If God shows you something from his word that is not what you've always thought, are you willing to accept it and to change? My experience, and I love you folks, and I've pastored this church a long time. My experience, though, is we're not very prone to it. We're very prone to make our little excuses, to try to just kind of brush it aside, whatever it might be. We are very prone to that, but we need to be very open to letting God change us, especially in relationships. Does God talk about relationships? Well, yeah, between He and people. That's what the Bible's about. So we need to let God show us something. And I want to show you something here. The serpent said to the woman, "Ye shall not surely die." Okay, he's denying what God said. I mean, you're not going to really die. "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, that then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." I find this tremendously interesting. God said, in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. What's he doing? He's appealing to our pride. But I want you to see something. Knowing what? What's it say there? Knowing what? Knowing good and evil. What's wrong with this statement?
Before then, there wasn't.
True. Of course, there was Satan. I don't know how long he'd been that way. By the way, I have seen where Satan very likely would have been created on day one or two. Some believe long before creation ever started. I don't know. It makes no difference. When did he fall? I don't know. Might have been just a few days before this. How long were they on the earth before this happened? I don't know. It doesn't say. But one thing we do know, and what you're bringing up, is Eve didn't know that. Do we need to? Do we need to? Let me ask you a question. Can you help somebody with a problem that you have never experienced? Thank you. Could you help them afterwards if they got hit? Somehow we have this idea that we got to know all these things in order to be of help to people. Do I have to be a drug addict to help a drug addict get over being a drug addict? I'm serious. Will I understand it better from experience? Yes. Do I have to have experienced it to help them? No. No. We have a fallacy in our thinking. We've bought into what the devil taught Eve here, that she know good and evil. Here's what God wants us to know. God doesn't want us to know right and wrong. God wants us to know right from wrong. Christy, you got 6 girls. You ever had to teach them how to do things wrong? What's your objective? Teach them wrong or teach them right? Sandra, have you ever had to teach your children? No, you didn't have to do that. Did you have to teach yours? They're good at it without any help. It's because they get it from their daddies. Yeah. Just remember who bore them. Yeah. There's a difference between teaching them right and wrong and teaching them right from wrong. And what happened to Eve? She got in trouble because she was willing to accept that idea. And it's a wrong spot to be. Let me give you a verse. We find this in the book of Proverbs, chapter 19, verse 27. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causes to err from the words of knowledge. Care, do you let your children watch R-rated movies? Why? That's the reason. We don't want them to hear those things. You say, well, they're going to hear it in the world. This is true. But you're going to do everything you can to keep them from hearing that. Does that make sense? Because they don't need to hear that. Is that going to make them more rounded in their education? No. So we as parents, we what? We seek to what? Shelter them from those things that are going to harm them. So there's a difference between right and wrong by all means. But we're going to try to teach them. We're not going to teach them right and wrong. We want to teach them right so they can understand when they see wrong. Let me put it to you this way. One of the things I find that sometimes folks, when they get saved not too long afterwards, they want to study the cults. Why are we interested in that which is wrong? It's always kind of struck me as strange when we don't know what's right yet. Wouldn't it be far more beneficial for us to understand the truth of the doctrines of the Word of God that we might recognize when falsehood comes our way? I've looked at those different ones through the years, and tell you the truth, I can't remember who believes what. And so I decided the best thing for me to do is just try to know the truth. I have enough trouble keeping all that straight. And I want to go in that direction. And so here's a tremendous truth that I look at in the Word of God. And what did he do? He disrupted the very first family because he appealed to her to know right and wrong, to know good and evil. Because then you'll be like gods. Now that's interesting, because when we study the Word of God and find out about gods, there's only one true God and all the rest of them are false. And if Eve in her quest would have said, no, I just want to know God, God will take care of me, this would have went no farther. But we're all built that way. So it's an area we need to be very careful of. We need to seek after truth, not after anything that's in the margin of error. And that's a tough one for us to do. It's just a tough one for us to do. We need to understand, though. We want to follow in the right direction. People of the world want to put ungodly thoughts and teachings into our minds. What disrupts our homes so often is that somebody begins to listen to somebody in the world as opposed to what God says. And it messes it up. Messes it up. It's what ends up causing our divorce rate. It ends up causing breakups in our families with children and parents. And I mean, it just causes all kinds of problems. And we need to recognize that. There is that which is evil that we don't need to know about. And we need to be looking at truth. Just an area. Anyways, I had a little question in my notes here. I don't have much notes there. They're just kind of short. But one of the questions is, which is worse? Which is worse? have a cancer or a denial of faith. And it isn't interesting that, let's take our children for a moment. We're going to go into children. Isn't it interesting that we want to put on sunscreen to protect them from skin cancer? By the way, I didn't know what that was growing up. Either one of them didn't know the things existed. I don't know how we survived. I ride a bicycle. I wear a helmet. Why? Because I ride up there this is why I ride on the levee, and if I turn around and look, I found out that I'm not a real good bicyclist anymore. I can run off the rut and you can go down the side of the bank real fast. I can bop my head and it's really soft. And they make these really cool hats. I used to think they were dumb. They really are kind of dumb looking. How do we make it through that? We didn't have car seats for our kids. You know what our oxygen or our airbag was? You hit the brakes, you put your arm out. Weird world we live in. But hey, we'll do those things. And yet, we allow a lot of ungodly thoughts to be placed into our children's minds. And many times, right in our homes, there's a thing called a television. And it's just interesting. We don't stop and think about some of these things. There's a vast difference between knowing right and wrong and knowing right from wrong. And so what happened? The home was disrupted. And it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So here's a guy that didn't operate where he should have operated. I wonder, too, what would have happened if Adam would have said no? Would God give him another wife? What would he have done? I don't know. But he sure cemented the whole thing. But did you notice something? There's three areas that she was sinful in. There's the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Now, no doubt you've heard me preach it, you've heard of it, but just to remember, Jesus was tempted in the three same areas. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And there's where he's going to come at us with. And it disrupted the first family, and it disrupts families ever since. Okay? And it says, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Now again, let's go back and think about it. What was so wrong with what they did? Today we think, boy, somebody kills, that's the worst thing. There was nobody killed here. We think, well, if there was adultery, that's horrible. There was no adultery here. What was it? God had said, don't eat this. How many things did God say they couldn't do? Was there a big list? One. Everything else was permissible. One thing. No. And they went in that direction. How did they go that way? Because The devil said, God is withholding some knowledge from you. Because he knows that then you can know good and evil. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we didn't know evil? Wouldn't it be wonderful if our minds were pure? I mean, really, wouldn't it be great if we didn't have evil thoughts? How tremendous. By the way, that's what God is trying to do in your life and my life through the Word of God. He's trying to take that old man and renew him how? In knowledge. And to purify that mind with good things, not the wrong thoughts. And with that which is truth rather than that which was false. One of the first false things that I encountered after I got saved that I had to embrace God's truth was in the realm of science. And particularly the theory of evolution. And I had to come to the realization, which authority am I going to accept in this? It's really what it boils down to. Am I going to accept God's authority in it, or am I going to accept man's authority in it? And by the way, God has never changed what he teaches about this. But in the last 40 years, I have seen man change what he teaches about it almost daily. It's amazing. I'm glad I took the right authority in that one. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much. Help us to understand some very important truth here and how it destroyed our homes in the very beginning and how it continues to destroy our homes as we allow that which is not truth, that which is error, that which is called here evil, to enter into our minds and the minds of our families. Lord, I pray that you'll give us wisdom and understanding of this great, great truth, that we might be bearers of the truth, and that we not be learners of evil, but learners of truth. And that our lives might be taken in the right order and direction. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.